The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So the people saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples. They themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Father set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent me." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Oh, good and gracious God, we praise and thank you, Lord, for the gift of this beautiful day, for having blessed us with air in our lungs, Lord God, and blessed us with bodies to walk with and to serve you. Not only that, Lord, but when you saw that we were unable to save ourselves, you became incarnate, you became in human forms and offered yourself, Lord, to the point of death for our sake, for love's sake. And for that, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of the dwelling of your holiness within us, Lord. And we ask that right now you stir up the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us so that we might receive the words that you are proclaiming on this day. And, oh, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So in this society that we live in, there's a lot of advertising that goes on. There are a lot of things that we see on TV or just riding down the street. There'll be buses that pass, and we're inundated with all of these things that are happening around us. I have a son. He's 22 now, but when he was younger, he used to love to watch commercials. He believed every one of them. I remember one time it took him 2 months to get over this mop that he saw on TV. He said, "But Mom, I'm trying to tell you that it won't take you so long to mop the floors if you get this mop, and your hands will never be dirty." It took me years to try to explain to him, "Joshua, though they make those promises, it's so that you will buy it. It doesn't mean that it always lives up to what it says." And he didn't really believe me. I have a sister who's a year older, and she's very frugal. And she loves to buy things for people, but she often bought Joshua toys from the dollar store that would look wonderful when you got them, but often did not quite live up to what they said they would do. And so as we continue to get those toys, he finally got it. "I see what you're saying now. Things make promises that they can't actually live up to. I'm never going to be like that." So as we look at the things that God has promised, at the ways that God is telling us, so we have to look at it in a different way than we look at things in this world. But we have to recognize, as people are inundated with advertisement, different types of stimulation, that we are Christ in this world, and we ought to be stimulating this world to be more like Christ, to be more like the kingdom of God. So as we see this lesson, I see myself all through it as these people who have come out to Jesus, and he's done this marvelous feeding of so many. They're really impressed with who he is. And I imagine that there began to be the best type of advertisement, word of mouth, about what Jesus did. Not only did he heal us, not only did he speak with authority, not only did he do that, but then we got free food on top of that. So I'm sure people were already clamoring to see him, but now there was a bonus. There was food. And as this crowd sees that Jesus has left the area, they so want to be with him that they get in the boats to figure out and to find where he is. What a lesson for us. We ought to be seeking Jesus every day. We ought to be like these crowds, recognizing that Jesus is present and around us, and we simply need to find and seek Christ out in the world. Are we there? In our ordinary lives, do we get so complacent that we just think, this is an ordinary day. I'm just going to the grocery store. I'm just going to work. I'm just going to school. I'm just going to do something. I don't expect to see Jesus there. But these crowds, and maybe it was their physical flesh that Jesus discerned was simply hungry and they wanted more food, sought him out with fervor. I don't think they would have given up. We got to go find that guy, the one who sustained our bodies. Let us go and find him so that he can provide bread, sustenance for us in the physical form again. Even in our moments of crisis, sometimes we don't pray, Lord, have your will. We tell God exactly what we want and how we want it. I need you to remove this from me because I can't take it anymore, and I need you to do it now. I need you to heal this situation, this relationship, this circumstance, or this illness so that I can know relief, Lord, now. So as soon as you get that done, check with me, and then I'll do what you want me to do. But Jesus is showing us something different in this lesson. He's trying to get us to understand that God's will has less to do with our physical comfort, though he will satisfy that, and more to do with our spiritual reality. He wants us to have a connection with God and understand who he is and what's possible through him. He wants us to know a life that is way different and an economy of God that is so rich and abundant and so much more than we can imagine. These people were empty on the inside. And don't stop your feeding programs. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. God bless you. But when you feed these people's bellies, you ought to know their spirits may be hungry too. And you ought to expect that sometimes they're going to feed your spirit. So that as Jesus is trying to reconcile what is going on in the reality with what is going on in the supernatural, he tries to use this to share with the people. You're talking about a bread, but I know a bread. I know of a bread that my Father created that will satisfy all hunger and all thirst. I know a bread that will take away the pains of this day. It won't take away the situation, but you will have peace in the midst of your crisis. I know a bread that will allow you to live forever and ever, and you will never have to bake again. Hallelujah to us bread makers. So that Jesus is trying to get them to understand a different economy. Even when we look at the first lesson with those ungrateful Israelite children, who have just been delivered out of bondage, who turn to their leader, who has given up his whole life to lead these people out to freedom, and they look at him and say, you brought us out here to die. We never do that with God, thank goodness. Well, I do, I know you don't. Sometimes God calls me to do a particular thing and I do it, and there are ungrateful people who don't appreciate the effort that I have made, and I think I never should have done it anyway. I'll never do that again. I won't make myself available to be mistreated again. If they don't appreciate me, I'm not going to do it. You never do that, but sometimes I do. And what God is trying to show us through the gift of his servant Moses, it's not about the appreciation of people, but it's about submitting to the will of God and being obedient regardless of whether we get the thanks or not. God is grateful for what we do, and God is saying, that is enough because I have people who are dying and I need you to follow the way. And so Moses is out there, and the people are upset because their bellies are empty. And as they come to him clamoring for an answer, God does indeed provide quail and manna from heaven to allow them to eat and to be nourished. And of course, this snippet, it looks like they're content. We know what happens later. But at this point in their mind, because their bellies are full, then now they're okay with him dragging them out of where they were. They weren't so bad. Being in slavery wasn't so bad. It wasn't as underrated as they were trying to say. But now that their bellies were full again, their hope was restored that they might experience freedom. God is trying to share with us that in the midst of our crises or storms or ordinary demands of life that stress us and call us anxious, he is encouraging us not to lose hope, to recognize that though we experience those things, we are capable of making through, that there is quail and manna abounding around us if we will eat and feed and nourish our spirits so that we may be able to face the days ahead. Jesus wants us to know that we are the body of Christ, and there's an expectation that we have everything we need within the body, but that we need each other. The second lesson teaches us that one cannot survive on its own, but it is the collective community of God that is able and capable to do these things, to feed the world with Christ. We need to answer the physical need. Yes, we need to have backpack programs and food pantries and those things, but we need to understand our greatest call is the proclamation of who Jesus is so that more may know and be fed eternally by that bread. God gives us many opportunities in life to do that, and I think there's an awakening in this lesson for us to pay attention to it. To get into our boats and seek Jesus out, to go through life expecting that Jesus is going to show up today. Or I might be the Christ that somebody else needs in that moment. And as we see and experience Christ, not to get caught up on simply the joy of the moment, the exceptionalism of the moment, but to recognize that there is a sacred moment here with Christ present. People may ask you, well, why are you smiling? Aren't you going through this financial circumstance? Didn't you lose your job? And you can point to Christ and say, because he lives, I live. They might see you and know that you have a particular thing that you've done, and people are really proud and giving you a lot of accolades. And instead of saying, yeah, well, I'm like my mom or whatever source that we think we got it from, maybe we ought to say, to God be the glory. Jesus is encouraging us not simply to go out and be among the people, to expect to see him there and then to feed each one of them with Christ so they might know the joy of salvation and live forever with him. Amen. Our hymn of the day is printed correctly, I am the bread of life, but the hymn number is actually number 485. 485.